This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm just feeling good today, everybody. I hope you are, too.
Me, too. Finally got on the other side of the extreme exhaustion of the sun passing in front of the moon or vice versa and sucking all the energy out of the earth and all this stuff, the cosmic things that we've experienced this week.
Right?
Casual. Yeah. Whew, or last week. I guess this will be coming out next week.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, but did a number on me.
We did it. We are here. It's Courtney's night to tell you. Something awful, I'm assuming.
Yes, this is pretty awful, but it's also slightly less awful. Sadie put us through it last week, and if you're on our Patreon, she put us through it again this week. So I thought that we could use something with a little bit of nice in it, for lack of a better word, because this is horrible. It's a horrible story. This is the case of, what should I even call it? We'll call this one American Monster 2.
Oh, back on this boat.
I'll probably not title it that, but for these purposes, we'll call this American Monster 2, Curtis Dean Anderson. On December 9th, 1999, 7-year-old Ziana Fairchild left the home she shared with her mother and her mother's boyfriend to go to school in the morning, but she never returned home that afternoon. Her mother called police to report her missing, and a massive search was launched to find her, which included help from the FBI, but there were no signs of her anywhere.
How old was she?
Seven.
Seven.
Yes. Her great aunt, Stephanie, I apologize in advance for the pronunciation of your last name. Kahalekulu. That's the last time I will be saying that name. Who raised Ziana for most of her life while her mother had been in prison for auto theft, traveled to California from Colorado to help search for the little girl and set about opening 4 volunteer centers, led search parties, and held fundraisers.
Wow.
Yeah. Ziana had just been back with her mother for 6 months when she disappeared.
No.
I know. So Stephanie is the other mother in the story.
Yeah.
Police interviewed everyone close to Ziana, specifically her mother, Antoinette Robinson, and Antoinette's boyfriend, Robert Turnbow, who had been with the child that morning. Initially, Robert told police he'd driven Ziana to the bus stop that morning, but a week later, he claimed he couldn't remember whether he'd driven her and said she might have walked alone to catch the bus.
Oh, no.
Robert also had a felony record for scalding an infant in 1994.
Oh, no.
I don't know what the circumstances were of that. So while he was never officially labeled a suspect, he and Antoinette quickly caught the attention of the authorities. It was also rumored that Ziana's great aunt Stephanie and Antoinette had tension between them because of the way they were raising Ziana. Ziana's disappearance aired on America's Most Wanted on December 18th and authorities continued to search the area, including her parents' apartment. The search was so massive that by December 31st, just 3 weeks after she went missing, the sheriff's department had already spent $144,000 trying to find her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Police searched her parents' apartment again on January 1st and 2nd and recovered some clothes that matched what her parents had claimed she'd been wearing when she disappeared. And Turnbow agreed to take a lie detector test, which he failed. And so their suspicions that they had something to do with her disappearance intensified. A grand jury investigation was launched on Turnbow. And all of the family's neighbors, relatives, and acquaintances were subpoenaed, but there wasn't any evidence that warranted charges against him. And so the search for Ziana continued.
And I assume she just never made it to school. Like, there was never, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I actually don't know the answer to that. But I'm going to cut this part out because I can't remember. I think she did make it to school.
Okay.
Oh, no, that was Mitzi. Just cut it out because I don't know the answer to it.
Okay, that's fine.
8 months later, police announced that they were refocusing the investigation on... I think she probably did because I think he probably snatched girls after school.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
8 months later, police announced that they were refocusing the investigation on Turnbow and a group of his friends, namely a man named William Perkins Jr., who had stayed at the apartment the night before she went missing. Perkins was arrested on August 16th for spousal abuse and minor sex abuse charges. And in the meantime, another young girl, 8-year-old Mitzi Sanchez, also disappeared from where she lived with her parents, 2 brothers and sister in Vallejo, California, where Ziana also lived. On August 10th, 2000, Mitzi left for school like she did every morning around 7:30 a.m. It was her birthday, and so she was excited for the party her parents were throwing for her that night. When she hadn't arrived home by 4 p.m. that afternoon, Mitzi's sister called their mother, Susanna, who then reached out to the school and anyone else who might know where she was, but no one had seen or heard from her.
It feels like this happens so often. The tragedy occurs, or this horrendous thing happens on people's birthdays, on, you know, like these. I can't wrap my head around how this child goes from, oh, it's my birthday, I'm going to have a party, to whatever horrors await.
No.
It's not okay.
No. I'm the kind of person that feels like things can't happen on your birthday. Yes. You know? Like, yes. It just feels like it just can't, but it does.
Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid and I got sick once on my birthday and I just felt so cheated. I was thinking, you know, this shouldn't be possible.
Yeah. Like when people get sick on their wedding day.
Yes.
Like, what kind of fucked up God let somebody get sick on their wedding day? Yes. You should just be protected. But of course you can.
Right.
And you probably are way more likely to get sick on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Because you're so stressed out. I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So word of her disappearance spread so quickly. By the time police arrived, flyers were already being distributed and volunteers were knocking on neighbors' doors to look for her. The next day, August 11th, a landfill worker contacted police after they spotted what looked like bloody clothing falling from one of the waste trucks.
Man, I also really appreciate the diligence of some of these landfill workers.
I guess if you like live in the valley in California, you probably see lots of weird shit coming out of your trash truck. But yes, it's pretty remarkable. And the diligence of police going and searching landfills, which... sounds like a real hard job.
Yes, a very unpleasant thing to have to do.
But hopefully in training academy, they're like, listen, your ass is going to be in a landfill at some point. Guess what people do with evidence? Put it in the trash. Yes. Guess where that goes? To the landfill. So guess where your ass is going to be? Digging through the landfill at some point. In fact, you might, if you have free time on your hands, you probably should just go to the landfill and poke around, see what you can find.
Right.
Because there's probably evidence in there. So police investigated and found that he had spotted a bloody sheet that had come from a nearby hotel. And so the search for Mitzi intensified as they feared that something horrible had happened to her. Mm. The day after that, a man named Carl Tafwa called the sheriff's office at 11 a.m. and reported that an 8-year-old girl had jumped in front of his truck to stop him after fleeing from a nearby car and was claiming she'd been kidnapped.
Oh, my God.
The little girl had told him that her name was Mitzi Sanchez.
No.
And Carl also happened to call in the license plate number of the car she'd bolted from.
You were okay. Woo. But she, so this was, wait, do we know she's alive? What happens, Courtney?
We'll get to that.
Okay. Oh, I'm so stressed.
This one is slightly better.
Okay.
They tracked the license plate back to a man who was well known to local police, 39-year-old Curtis Dean Anderson.
Okay, but so she jumped out of the car and asked for help, and then he didn't help her?
Oh, he helped her. Okay. And not only did he help her, he got on his CB radio.
I got a little girl here and the license plate number.
He oh my God.
Called oh, in the license hey. Plate number.
Ooh. I thought that this was, she was still missing. And he was like, oh, by the way, this little girl needed help, but I didn't help her. And I was like,
No.
Oh,
thank Carl Toffwa is a yes. hero.
I'm on board now. Yay.
Yes.
Oh, good job.
Yes. No. Curtis Dean Anderson.
God, I'm changing my children's name to that now.
Carl Toffwa.
Yes.
The hero. Me yes. too. I'm yes. changing my name to that.
Yes.
This is They Will Kill. I am Carl Toffwa. And this is Carl Toffwa.
Don't ask any questions.
Curtis Anderson was born in 1961 and grew up with an abusive alcoholic father. His mother claimed he was, quote, just a normal kid. He liked to play baseball, ride his bike. I don't know what could have gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, getting the shit slapped out of you by your alcoholic father is what yeah. had gone wrong.
Right.
Among other things, I'm sure, but fuck this guy forever. He dropped out of school when he was 13 and had been arrested at least 10 times between 1979 and 1991 for drug, theft, and weapons violations. And in 1991, he kidnapped a woman and forced her to drive him to Oregon, which resulted in an 80-month prison sentence. He also had multiple charges of violence against women and was imprisoned 10 times between 1986 and 1999 for his crimes. He was described by a neighbor as, quote, a true a-hole, argued all the time, threatened. I always thought he'd kill someone.
Yeah, yikes. Sounds like it.
His brother said he had, quote, no respect, no care, no concern for people. His brother also said if the abducted 8-year-old, quote, was my kid, he would be dead already.
Mm.
His own brother said this
wow.
about him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
When Mitzi disappeared, Anderson was working as a cab driver for a local company. And Mitzi's mother said she'd. Also, this is a listener suggestion. I forgot to say that on top. Oh, so thank you, listener, for this one. You were right. They're like, this is a great story, in parentheses, for a child killer. If child killer stories can be great.
Great.
Ones. This is great. A good one. So when Mitzi disappeared, Anderson was working as a cab driver for a local company. And Mitzi's mother said she'd seen him smoking a cigarette on a nearby corner the day Mitzi disappeared. And, quote, I remembered the face and it was him. Hmm. He even came to my house and offered to help search.
No, he fucking didn't. Of course.
Yes. When police showed me the flyer and said they had a suspect, it just hit me. I knew it was him.
Creep. What a creep.
Creep. So Mitzi said she had made it to school that day. And when the bell rang at 3 p.m. to signify the end of the day, she bolted from her class because she was so excited to get home for her birthday party. She said that her mother insisted that she and her brother and friends walk the 7 blocks home together every day, but she left without them that day because she was too eager to get home to her party. It was also like one major street from school to her house that she had to take, so she wasn't right. sweating it.
No, and children should be totally fine to walk home by themselves.
Yes, in broad daylight in a major urban area. Yes.
Yes.
Not major, but in an urban area, yes.
Yeah.
When she was just a block from her home, she noticed a man watching her through his rear view mirror in a parked car. And she said she remembered thinking she should cross to the other side, but ignored that instinct. And so when she got to the car where he was sitting, he exited the car and asked her to help him pick something up. He was struggling to reach inside of the car.
Nope. No, yep. Nope, not your job.
Well, and she said there's a lot of interviews with her. She's got a whole foundation and does a lot of work in educating people. And also she's like her big thing is hope, spreading hope. It's mm-hmm. lovely. But she's like, children do not need to help adults. Adults Ever. Should not yes. be asking children for help, period.
Right. Yes, yeah. I have had that talk with my boys. And they are very confused. And then, but my children are like, so that means I don't have to do chores. Like, no, you have to help your family with things that you are responsible for. But strangers?
No.
Never. Nope.
But she, of course, had been raised to be kind and helpful. And so she agreed, despite the feeling that something was very wrong.
Yeah, of course she did.
Yeah.
And I think most kids would. Oh. And that's the fucking problem with perpetrators of children.
Well, and also this like hammering home of authority.
Yeah. Yes.
And I've gotten into a lot of conversations on Facebook with people who are like, you know, children lack respect for authority, blah, 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 to the point that they need to just take adults or like a doctor's word for things. Like somebody specifically was, I can't remember what this specific argument was, but was saying basically like, I'm teaching my children to, you know, just like this doctor, their word is God basically. And I was like, that is probably the worst thing you can teach your child.
Right.
If we had a infallible medical system, fine. But so many of us have been taught to not trust our own bodies.
Right. Or to care about the, like, the consent doesn't matter.
Exactly right.
Especially if you're a child.
Exactly right. So there's so many things. We could talk about this forever. But yes, kids don't need to help adults. Mm-mm. Kids should be polite and, you know, kind, but not to the extent that they're getting into strangers' cars or putting themselves in close enough proximity to said adult that that adult could then push them into the car and close the door.
Correct. And also, adults still have to earn the respect and trust of children.
Correct.
Just because they're adults doesn't mean they're worthy of the child's trust.
No. And often we forget that children are human beings. They're smaller versions, but they are autonomous beings who are going to grow into adult human beings, and they are human beings.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't realize that. So that's good to know.
You know what I mean? That's like,
yeah, right. God. Yes. Yes.
You are like them, guys. You are like them. Like you, if you are a parent, you are like them. You have parents and you don't want your parents ruling anyway.
Right. And sometimes you have to close your eyes and think, okay, what did this feel like when I was a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to spend the majority of my relationship with them as mutual adults. And so how do I want that to look? Because that's lots of years. That's like 60 years. This is only 18 years.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, she then watched, he pushed her into the car, starts up the car. She watched as they passed by her house as he drove her to a parking lot to have her change her clothes and tried to disguise her appearance as much as possible. He then drove her to a rest area where they spent the night, and he proceeded, quick trigger warning. I'm not going to go into any details throughout the story, but there is sexual abuse of children in the story, obviously. But he proceeded to take nude photos of her that night. Mitzi said she was constantly trying to think of ways to get him to let her out of the car so she could run and get help. And when she asked if she could use the restroom, he chained her to the gear shift so she could only get so far away from the car.
Mm-mm. How old is she again?
8.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Little.
Little.
The next day, he drove them an hour away, and Mitzi continued to try to think of ways to escape, including trying to pick the lock with a nail file that broke off before she could figure it out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So brave.
So brave. This girl's fucking smart. Since it was August in California, she was very hot and he hadn't fed her. So she was also very hungry and thirsty and growing more afraid that she wasn't going to make it out alive. He basically drove around all day and made her stay on the floorboards with a blanket over her, too.
Oh, God.
She said that her faith was what got her through the excruciating hours that she was trapped in the car. She said that he would leave the car on occasion to get cigarettes and alcohol or check the news for updates on her disappearance. At one point, he left the car to go into her home and ask for flyers so he could help distribute them.
She saw him telling her mother that.
I don't know if she knew she was at her home until later, but
Holy shit.
Yes, this motherfucker went to her house. This is how sadistic.
With her in the fucking car.
With her in the car, went into her home and asked her mother for flyers, which is how her mother identified him later. But
oh, my God.
Yeah.
How the primal urge to rip this man into shreds that is inside of me. The fact that that hasn't happened by all of us, I assume.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That poor mom.
Yeah. Thank God she came out alive. I mean, just imagine finding that out later. I
know.
Also, having a survivor talk about seeing police officers drive by multiple times, driving by her house twice, you know, like all of these near misses. I'm sure this happens because, you know, it's got to be a part of the fun for them.
Totally.
Obviously, like we've covered enough cases where people are just putting themselves right in the fucking line of fire to get caught.
Yeah.
Because it's fun for them.
Mm-hmm. That's like the case that I covered where the victim who survived was driven past her house and made eye contact with her brother.
Oh,
and he waved at her.
Yeah.
Before he realized she was missing.
Yeah, that's why we don't say, oh, they probably just ran off with their boyfriend. We say, let's get the fuck out there because they are probably within some close amount of blocks to this house.
Because
whoever took them is sick.
Yes.
And is probably driving them around because it's fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
So on the second morning of her captivity, he left the car for about 30 minutes to buy cigarettes and alcohol. And when he came back, he tossed something near the driver's side and told her not to look at it and then walked away again.
Mm.
I'm not sure if he wanted to get caught or if he just assumed that 7-year-olds don't know how to use their hands. Because when she looked for what had fallen, it was a large set of keys.
Oh, shit. Don't look. Don't worry about this over here.
I mean, it's like, was he? Yeah, he was just seeing what she could do. Cat and mouse stuff,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Must have. So she said it looked like a set of janitor's keys. And she was smart enough to know to look for a smaller key that would fit in the lock around her ankle. And she was able to free herself.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
She said that her heart dropped instantly because she knew then she'd had to do something.
Oh,
she's right? Like, great, I'm free, but now what?
Right.
And she wasn't sure what to do. He'd threatened to shoot her if she tried to escape. So she actually locked herself back up. So she like unlocked it and was like, oh, shit.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her at all.
Sometimes when I watch scary movies, which this very much sounds like.
Yeah.
When the... You know, when you can see the bad guy, the monster, and then they get away and they're hiding, that is way worse.
Way worse.
Way worse.
And so a moment later, she was like, fuck this guy, and unlocked herself, rolled down the window and escaped.
Ah, good job.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I'm so glad she survived.
She said that when her feet hit the ground, she was so weak and exhausted, she almost collapsed, but she was able to walk away. He had driven them to an industrial area, and she followed her instincts and found a nearby road where multiple cars drove by without stopping. She said that her kidnapper realized at that point that she had escaped and started screaming at her to come back, but she just turned around, shook her head no. And jumped in front of a huge truck and started waving her hands.
Sounds like a you problem, buddy.
She's like, I don't think so.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good over here. Thank you.
Scrap.
I love her.
I also think about
Mitzi
all the people. Mitzi for president. Mitzi for everything. I want her solving all my problems moving forward. Because if you could do that at 8, God, imagine what she'd do now. I also think about, like, I'm the kind of person who will turn around if I see, like, a single mom walking down the street with her groceries or something. You know, I'm going to give you a ride. But you have to, like, find a place to turn around. So I wonder how many of these people were like, why is that little child?
Yeah.
You know, and then the amount of time that they're, like, processing what they're seeing and trying to slow down and pull over. But she was like, all right, I'm just going to solve this problem. I'm going to put my body in the line of traffic.
But she's better on, sadly, she's better off getting hit by that truck.
Right.
Whatever he has in store for her.
100%. Yes. She's little. She'll just get kind of knocked over and it'll roll over.
Her
you know,
brain's bouncy. It's
exactly. Fine. So he stopped and his window is open. So she crawled inside, up over, rip, weep, 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 like up, monkeyed up in there, yip, and then over his lap and into the passenger side and was like, I'm Mitzi Sanchez. That man kidnapped me.
Oh, holy shit.
And the guy pulls out a CB radio as he's pulling away to get her to safety. He doesn't confront the guy. He doesn't wait. Instincts of fucking champions, these two. Pulls out a CB radio, calls in the license plate number as he's pulling out of the parking lot to get her to safety.
I can't tell you how happy I am she's alive.
I know. 7 hours later, Curtis Dean Anderson was located and arrested for the kidnapping, aggravated sexual assault on a minor, rape, and 2 counts of lewd acts.
Fuck. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
So glad. Mitzi made it back home in time to celebrate her birthday that Saturday. I mean, it's very sweet, but it's also like, oh my God. So there's news footage of her parents carrying her home and like the entire community is in front of her house singing happy birthday to her.
She probably needs a little time.
She's like, I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay in that moment.
No, you wouldn't be okay.
No, I was happy to be home.
Mm-hmm. Nice gesture in theory.
Yeah.
Maybe just send her some well wishes in the mail.
Yeah. Set up a college fund for her. Send her a teddy bear, Build-A-Bear coupon, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Get out of her face. And she's so, a little sweet face. And she's just like trying to smile, but she's crying. She's just like, guys, no.
No, no.
No. Ugh. Quote, she's a hero. She got away. She outsmarted him. She outsmarted him, her mother said, once she'd returned.
God.
I mean, imagine I'd be chills. Like chocolate pancakes for breakfast. What would you like? Hero.
Anything. Whatever you want. Just all like, of everything.
How's my little hero? I can't believe I raised a hero. I can't believe I gave birth to a girl who's smart enough to break out of a fucking creep car and return home safely and flag down an adult. And my God.
Yes. And not to say that his other victims who maybe didn't escape.
No.
But. Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I would be beside myself, though, if like my little tiny child just saved me from having to experience losing my little tiny child.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Infathomable. It's crazy. 2 weeks later, she joined the team of volunteers who were still looking for Zianna Fairchild.
I'm going to die.
There's photos of her holding like a little can and it's all decorated up. Like she obviously decorated it. And I'm assuming she's like collecting donations or whatever and wearing t-shirts and like all this adornment and stuff to help find Tiana. But it would take another 5 months for Ziana's family to get any answers. On January 19th, 14 months after she disappeared, a construction worker was driving up a rural road about 60 miles from where Zianna was taken. And he thought there was a large rock in the road, so got out to move it and found it was a small human skull.
Oh, no.
2 pieces of her jaw were also located, and dental records and DNA testing confirmed that it was the remains of Zianna Fairchild. Thousands of mourners erected a memorial in her honor and left teddy bears, flowers, candles, and photos in memory of the little girl. One volunteer who helped search for Zianna said that she'd become such a part of all of their lives that even her 2-year-old daughter knew who she was. Quote, she would say Nana because she couldn't say Zianna, but she knew who Zianna was, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know how to tell her.
Oh.
Yeah, people were wrecked.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm wrecked.
Yeah. In between getting arrested for kidnapping Mitzi and discovering Zianna's skull, Anderson told 3 different people that he'd had something to do with Zianna's disappearance. 2 weeks after he was arrested for kidnapping Mitzi, he bragged to reporters that he had taken Zianna and kept her for 2 weeks before passing her off to someone else, but that she was alive at the time. Likely.
Yeah.
Oh, what a hero. He'd also claimed that he'd given Zianna a ride in his cab and brought the police on a bogus search for her remains. Another time he told a reporter that he'd taken Ziana, drugged her, and then sealed her in a body bag before throwing her over an embankment. Before the media had begun speculating that Anders had had anything to do with Ziana's disappearance, an inmate at the prison where he was being held came forward to report in a written statement that he'd confessed to taking her, and his own brother, Anderson's own brother, reported that he'd confessed to him, quote, "I took the girl," but he hadn't believed him at the time because he tended to make things up.
And so he was saying this before he was caught.
Correct.
For Mitzi's abduction. Okay.
Correct. Yep. Police also spoke, and even after they caught him for Mitzi, they didn't openly, I think they immediately suspected he had something to do with Ziana, but the media hadn't reported it yet. So
right.
The inmate came forward before anything came out in the media that he might be related to that case too.
Got it.
Police also spoke to three children and a woman who had spotted Ziana with Anderson in the days leading up to her disappearance. Over time, Anderson told police that he'd held Ziana for several weeks and had hidden a videotape of him abusing her, but the police have not confirmed whether or not that tape exists. He also threatened Ziana's great aunt Stephanie that if she didn't send him weekly payments, he couldn't, quote, guarantee her safety. She also just fucked with him. She would go and visit him and he would make promises, and she just stayed after this guy. And I don't know the details of it, so I didn't include all of it, but she was like determined to get as much information out of him as possible about Ziana.
So he was arrested for Mitzi's abduction.
Yes.
But they still hadn't found Ziana's body.
Yep.
And so while in jail,
yes,
he's telling everybody that she's still alive.
Well, he kept changing his story.
Right.
So at first he was like, yeah, I did take her, but I passed her off after 2 weeks and she was alive. But then he started telling reporters that he had drugged her and put her in a body bag and threw her over an embankment.
Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead.
No, he just kept telling people different things.
Trying to get Stephanie to give him money while he was in jail?
Yes, because okay. He was like, I'm going to send people to hurt you if you don't.
Basically. Oh, hurt her. Not
hurt her, not, correct. But then she was turning it around and going in and talking to him. And
got it.
He would change his story every time she saw him. And basically she was very involved. She was like, yes. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to go ahead and hurt me. But
I thought he was trying to pretend like the little girl was still alive.
No. Sorry. No,
that's okay. Just,
yeah, threatening her own safety.
Great. Got it.
Quote, in a 2001 interview, Anderson took obvious delight in recounting different methods of molesting girls and smirked as he first bragged about killing Ziana and others, then said, maybe I'm full of shit. I like to keep you all guessing.
God, what a that's so gross.
Yeah, very. Anderson was sentenced to 251 years in prison for what he did to Mitzi. I love 251.
Just for good measure.
I just love once you're past 100, if I was a judge, I'd be like, I'm going to give you 6,416 years in prison. Right. Like, just fuck it. You know?
Yep.
251. Because, you know, the clerk was like, but what about? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? One more for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it took until 2004 for him to be charged with Ziana's kidnapping and murder. Another break came when a third 8-year-old girl came forward to report that she had been stopped by a man on her way to school who had asked her to help him fix a broken window on the passenger side of his car. She crawled inside to help him and he closed the door behind her, but another car pulled up, which spooked the man, and he then gave her $5 and let her go. She was able to identify Anderson in a lineup and also claimed he'd been using a cane, which Anderson had walked with a cane at that time after severely injuring his leg in a motorcycle accident. Anderson's defense claimed that the stories had all been made up for attention, but many of his confessions had been recorded and police were able to piece together details that he couldn't have known if he hadn't been the one to commit the crimes. But Anderson's defense didn't have to do much work beyond that because in 2005, for some unknown reason, they still don't know why, he decided to plead guilty to the kidnapping, molestation, and murder of 7-year-old Ziana Fairchild.
Just sick of the attention, huh?
Oh, it's weird. He hadn't been facing the death penalty because he'd been very ill when his trial was approaching. And there was a chance he would, there's a very good chance he wouldn't have made it the 20 to 25 years it would have taken for him to be executed after the full appellate process.
Wow.
Prosecutors had also wanted to protect Mitzi Sanchez from a traumatic high profile trial.
Yeah.
But they just don't know why. It's really weird. It's really weird. Yeah, he's not like a redemptive person.
No, obviously not.
You know? But this, like, when I first started this case, I was like, why isn't there more? There's not any, like, Dateline episodes, really. You know, there's not big, high-profile articles about this, like, child serial killer. But it's because there was no trial. I was shocked when I got to that detail, but it also made a lot of sense. But Ziana's aunt Stephanie said, quote, "I have mixed feelings about it. It meant a lot to hear him say that he is guilty for what he has done. I hope prison is made a very uncomfortable place for him." She was also like, "There's something else here." Mm-hmm. She's like, "I don't know what it is, but there's something else here because he's not doing this for us.
The kindness of his heart.
No. He's not trying to redeem himself." He was sentenced to 50 years to life in prison, and he died in the hospital in 2007 at the age of 46.
Wow.
That was a swift vengeance. Mm-hmm. Anderson's full victim count is unknown, but he has bragged about killing between 10 and 15 others, and it is highly suspected that he had something to do with the 1988 disappearance of 7-year-old Amber Swartz-Garcia, who was jumping rope in her front yard in Pinole, California, when someone pulled over and abducted her in the middle of the day. Mm-mm. Anderson confessed to kidnapping and killing her just before he died, but authorities have been unable to find her remains or other credible evidence that he was actually responsible for the crimes. Ziana's family started the Ziana Angel Tree in her honor, and they collect gifts to be distributed to underprivileged children at Christmas. In 2006, they collected around $10,000 in gifts, including those donated from police officers who had worked on Ziana's case, firefighters, city officials, and the district attorney's office. Her aunt Stephanie said, quote, "The hard part is that we're doing this in Ziana's memory rather than having her here. It still hits you every once in a while that she died, that she was killed, and that these events are in her memory. Then I can sit down and picture all 180 of these children opening their gifts."
Ugh, chills.
I know. It's a neat feeling. "And I picture Ziana watching what's happening." And Mitzi Sanchez, if you all want to get to know more about Mitzi Sanchez, there are podcasts, YouTube videos, I Survived interview. Like, she is out there telling her story.
Good.
She's living with her daughter. She's
is the president of the United States.
She
of America.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but she is the president of the United States as far as ADA. She's the president of Trash Island. She is the commander in chief. She is the secretary of state as far 100%. As I'm concerned.
Yes. The king, the queen, the prime minister. All of
yes. It. Just clarity, strength, focus. Determination, hope, deeply committed to her faith, you know, just out there telling people how to be okay.
Amazing.
Amazing. And so it's brief. It's a brief case for all that is involved because I don't have the luxury, and thank God we don't have the luxury, because that saved Mitzi and her family and Ziana's family from the fucking torture of having to go through years of a trial. Mm-hmm. But that is the horrendous and also amazing story of the piece of garbage, piece of shit, Carl Dean, stupid bozo Anderson. Curtis Boo. Dean, bozo Anderson.
Boo. Who cares what his name is?
Who Boo. Cares? Boo. But also, the amazing case of Carl Toffwall, who made the best decision ever. And for Vallejo, California, who came together and just like rallied so hard for these little girls. And we're out there knocking on doors, passing flyers, spending $144,000 is everything. Like being a community.
Yes. Caring about each other and children.
Yes. Not arresting the stepfather, even though it would have been very easy to arrest the stepfather because he had a history and had a harder life that looked suspicious, but was just so coincidental that he was doing the best he could and had made poor choices in his past, but he was not a child killer. Ugh. Just near miss. I mean, this one is like, we cover so many cases where everything bad, just like almost a good thing happened, but it was the bad thing. This is the case where the good thing happened so many times.
Yes.
Thank God. Good. Yes.
Good one, Eck.
Thank you. And thank you,
I'm
listener.
I'm not going to fire you today.
Suggested it. It's been on my list for so long, but I'm always like, oh, I don't have child serial killer in me. But then yesterday I decided to take a look at it and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good.
I can do it.
This is pretty great. There is also an FBI map of, and it's unfortunately there's no explanation of the map, but there is a map of his suspected victims. And I think it's, I don't know if it's victims that he has claimed but they haven't found, or victims that he has claimed that there are also remains that have been found. But basically there's six additional bodies that they all say unknown female. So I'm assuming there are Jane Does that he has said I was here, or he was there and there was an unknown, you know, there's a Jane Doe or whatever. But there is a map, there's an FBI map of his potential other victims that have somewhat been corroborated by the FBI.
I tell you what, the fact that people can live out there in the world and just abduct and murder children and get away with it countless times.
Yeah. In the same car, in the same area. He knew enough to have the chains ready. He had his like Ted Bundy bullshit going. He definitely didn't just do this twice.
No.
Three times. Definitely didn't do it. Yeah. He had done it a lot of times. And he enjoyed it. And he was ballsy enough that he was going to their houses and driving them around in the same area, keeping them alive for, if he's correct, he kept Tiziano alive for multiple weeks.
No, it's like, what's his face? The killer that fed the kid Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Because he saw it on the news.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, people.
Devastating.
People.
Yep. So my heart blows into 1,000,000,000 pieces for Ziana's mother and aunt. And also this aunt, I mean, the mother too, they have come together. Like they had some tension, but the news articles that I read said that they immediately came together and were supportive of each other and, you know, just being family. But Stephanie's a badass.
Yeah.
She's a fucking badass. And I wish I knew more about the specifics of her relationship with him and like what she did, lengths that she went to fuck with him as he fucked with her. She was like, all right, I'm going to reverse engineer this fuckery. So
I'm going to ruin your life.
Yes. Hopefully someone will write a book or something. Maybe one exists, but I did pretty deep dive into finding stuff on this and there's a lot of mentions of it, but not a lot of detail. So anyway.
Right.
Thank you, listener.
Yay. Good one.
Thank you, Mitzi, for doing it. Yes. For winning.
Yes. You win. You mean President Mitzi.
I'm sorry. President Mitzi. DDSMD, PhD. Of the world. One sec. Laura's texting. All right, babes. Well, do you want some name times? It's a shorter name time today, this week, because we're recording this one a little bit early. So Sadie can go see AJ Bergans and his baby twins and her sister Sandra. And I'm so jealous. I could die.
I'm so excited. I cannot stand it.
They're so cute. They're so cute.
They are just miraculous children.
They really
are. And I'm going to destroy them with my love because I cannot help it.
I just want to hear the little voices. Hi, Courtney.
Oh, God.
Kick. Punt. Like, punt them. Punt them for me. They're so little.
And getting so big all at the same time. But anyway, yes. So no, we're, this is early. Not a lot of time to gather the names for name time. But what do you have?
We got a couple cuties, though. Last name, Boogert Man. I've opened the notes app or like seen it because I'm leaning heavily on the notes app. If you all aren't aware, I keep seeing Boogert Man regularly.
Boogert
Man. Someone pointed out Sherry O'Terry. I don't know how I missed O'Terry, but God, she's like the OG rhyme name. Dr. Rick Titball studied the bubonic plague.
Of course he did.
He's like, God, my name is Rick Titball. What should I do?
Let's get rid of this nasty bug.
Well, I think he studied it after the fact. Oh. Maybe I actually don't know.
No, that would make sense. The bubonic plague was quite a while ago, as far as I know.
Yeah, a couple years ago. And if my name was Rick Titball, I'd be like, I think I need to dedicate my life to studying the bubonic plague.
Totally. Somebody just recently died in like New Mexico of the bubonic plague.
What?
And that's my reaction. And I guess like 20 people a year die of it. They get like rats and shit and they die of the bubonic
plague.
I know. Thank you. I agree. Yeah. Wow. Let me look it up. Let me make sure that it's not like the bird flu or something, but.
They're like, oh, no, it's COVID.
20 whole people. I'm pretty sure somebody just died.
I did learn while you looked that up. I did learn that autoimmune disorders are direct descendants of the plagues, of the various plagues. And so we were the survivors. We had the DNA that was survived them, but also carried all that bullshit in our DNA with us to create future autoimmune disorders.
Wow.
Thanks, bubonic plague. Thanks, Black Death. Are they the same thing? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah. Somebody died in Colorado in 2023 of the bubonic plague. They do not know how the gentleman caught it.
Wow.
Yeah. And
also apparently not into it.
Right? Killed up to 50% of the population.
Whoa!
In the 14th century.
God, see, that's the thing, man. We are regenerative as F. Like, as a planet, as a people. Sadie talking about little kids getting brain surgeries and getting released a week later.
Right. Just getting hatcheted in the brain.
Yeah, we can lose half of the population to a plague at a time when there's not soap and shit and still survive as a species. My God.
Yeah. No, 200 to 700 cases around the world are recorded of the bubonic plague. And they think that many more others go undetected.
Fuck.
Doesn't necessarily kill everybody.
Right. Well, I imagine we all have a little bit of it a lot. Right?
That's maybe, yeah.
How it works. Like, you get it?
Yeah.
You just don't die from it or...
Right. Yeah, you know, the ancestors that we came from have the gene that we need, and then other people are born without it and still can die from it. I don't know. I'm not... Take it from me. I am an expert.
Listen, this is exactly how it works.
Yes.
Let's ask Nancy Sanchez. She knows.
She knows. She's an expert on the world, on everything.
If Mitzi Sanchez caught the bubonic plague, she would get rid of the bubonic plague.
She would cure that and then cure cancer.
She would solve her own immunity. She would create her own immunity to the bubonic plague.
Totally.
When she was eight, she would do that.
While she was fleeing from her, her attacker.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, yeah, hey, guys, just take this tonic that I've whipped up.
Like, he brought his cigarettes and alcohol into the car, and I just thought, it just dawned on me that I could make a bubonic plague tonic from it, and so just whipped it up and took it. And then I rolled down the window and escaped.
Was that all the names?
Donald Dorkoff.
Oh.
Middle school science teacher. Man, if your name is Donald Dorkoff, you are really taking your life into your hands by becoming a middle school teacher. Good for you, sir. Good for
that's,
you.
That's when you just go ahead and change your last name.
Last name Coffee.
Woohoo. Our third grade. Do you had Mrs. Coffee?
I had Mrs. Right? Coffee.
Third grade, second grade? I don't remember. Yep. Our teacher. Yeah.
Third grade. She was probably my favorite teacher.
She was lovely.
Yeah. Third grade is just such a lovely time. Mm-hmm. It was for me. And last but not least, Barry Larry Terry. Who looks exactly like you would think Barry Larry Terry would look.
Does he have overalls on?
He has a lot going on. Yes. Yeah, that's exact. Yes. Go in that direction and then take it. Mm-hmm. To
keep going.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are just born to be Barry Larry Terry. Some people are born to be Mitzi Sanchez. Some people are born to be Donald Dorkoff. And some people are born to study the bubonic plague. Like Dr. Rock. I wish it was Rock Titball. Dr. Rick Titball.
Oh, man.
Well, darlings, we have one more of these to pump out today. So we're going to get to getting on to that one, recording that Patreon episode. And if you want to be one of our patrons, you can sign up for as little as $5 a month and you get so many new episodes. So many new episodes.
So many.
Full ass, whole ass, huge ass episodes. This one Sadie did last week was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous. So if you want to have your life ruined, get over there and sign up for Patreon and you can be really devastated.
And also the whole story was nearly an hour long of the actual story. So when we say their whole ass episodes, we really mean it. It was so much terrible stuff.
Yeah. They are full. It's mm-hmm. rare that these things fall under 30 solid minutes ever.
Right.
I don't think they ever have ever.
Probably not in the history of the world.
No, but you can also spend more time with us at TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe to us, please.
Yes, please. We'd love it when you do.
And thank you, AJ Bergans, for your music.
Thank you so much.
And remember.
Oh, my God. So many revelations this week. What can I tell you to remember?
There was something I felt like I had to update the people on, too. Do I remember? We got some sort of wrong information out there, and now we can't remember how to correct it because I don't know what it was.
God.
It wasn't anything important. It was like, or it was a fault. God damn it. I'll keep you posted. I'll try to think of it.
Great. Well, I'm dying to know.
No, me too.
I feel like I had a They Will Peel update. Y'all know about castor oil. Nivea. I don't think I've told him about Nivea.
I think we did talk about Nivea.
Did we talk about Nivea?
I've started using Nivea and it's intense in the best way.
Well, and you haven't added the vegetable glycerin yet, have you?
Right. I need to know.
You got
to
do that. It really makes all the difference in the world.
God damn it. What was it? I don't remember.
Well, I'm just going to say, just try to say yes to yourself and to things. Just try to say yes. I think that I am really struggling to say yes to things these days. And then when I do, it's hard and it's absolutely like miraculous.
Yeah. So, every time I do, I think anybody who is anybody, basically anybody who's neurodivergent or just humans in general. Yeah.
Introverted.
I really struggle with getting excited about things that are out of the ordinary for me.
Yes.
Even when I know it's important and there are people that I love and things that I really want to do, I super duper struggle with that. And I would be happy to cancel any plans at any time, all the time.
Yeah.
And then once I'm there, I'm so happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I always regret all of that time I spent ahead of time, like thinking about it and not dreading it necessarily, but just not having some genuine excitement.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's any way for me to get out of that necessarily. I really think it's how my brain works, except for just continually pushing myself to do the things that I don't, for whatever reason, I don't think I want to do before it happens. Does that make sense?
No, yes, that's exactly what I mean. And
yeah,
after COVID and I'm getting older and things just are changing, medicated, so I'm not seeking dopamine. All these different things have changed. And so it's getting a lot harder for me to leave the house. And then I do. And then I'm like, oh my God, there's the thing my soul needed. Yes. Had I stayed in my house, I would not have found this thing. And this thing is like crucial to my development and happiness. Yes. So try to say yes, especially if you're a young person. Mm-hmm. People ask all the time, like, what? Oh my God, there's somebody who wrote to us and was like, I want to learn more about the production and like the film industry. Courtney, can I talk to you? And I wrote you back and I said, yes, let's get on a phone call. And then you wrote me back like later and said, oh my God, I'm sorry, I missed this email. And then I have not written you back and I keep forgetting to do that, but I want to talk to you. But basically I will be happy to chat with people and give them any advice or guidance or whatever. But the biggest thing being, it's really about saying yes. It really is about who you know. It sucks that that's who it's about, but it's 97% who you know. Talent helps, but it's not necessary, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it really comes down to saying yes and getting your little body out in the world as hard as it is and meeting people and having experiences and learning things about yourself and others. So that I know because I have 5 jobs. That applies to any industry, especially creative industries. But yes, just try to say yes, whenever you can. It's hard, but it's worth it. You are worth it. And we love you.
We do. We love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you soon.
See you real soon. Goodbye, babies. You are so cute. Goodbye. And hot and intelligent. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.